call B.J. Morrison, our scripture reader for the day.
Good morning. Our scripture today is the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, 1 through 9, and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was gathering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of God.
Thank you, BJ. I apologize. I got the scripture having a little difficulty seeing this morning, so I got lost. Apologize. Somewhere I saw a list of wise saying attributed to farmers, and farmers certainly have their wisdom. Maybe you can relate to a few of these. Forgive your enemies, it messes with their heads. Do not corner something that you know is meaner than you. Life is simpler when you plow around the stump. When you wallow with pigs, expect to get dirty. And this last bit of advice, always drink upstream from the herd. Just common sense, but true. Jesus told a lot of stories about farmers. Today's text is one of those stories. However, the farmer in this story is not particularly gifted, it seems, at his profession. A farmer went out to sow seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some of it fell along the path. Well, everybody knows that you can't plant seed where people are walking. It'll never grow. It won't penetrate the hard-packed soil. So the birds came along, and they ate the seed that had fallen on the path. And some of the other seed fell in the rocky places where there was a deficiency of soil. Again, not a very good place to sow the seed. The resulting plant sprang up quickly because the soil was very shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they didn't have any root. Another seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so it didn't survive either. Now this farmer is 0 for 3 to this point. And looks like he's going to have a poor harvest this year. Finally, however, he got lucky. Some of the seed fell on good soil where it produced a miraculous crop up to 100 times what was sown. So this will not be a bad year after all. Where good seed falls on good soil, amazing things can happen. We all remember Robert Schuller. Many of you saw him on TV, the Crystal Cathedral. He used to say, anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed. The greatest thing in the world, including the kingdom of God, grows from seeds. Of course, this story, which we normally refer to as the parable of the sower, is really not about farming at all. And it's not about a careless farmer, but a generous God who sows seeds of love and acceptance for people. But different kinds of people respond in different ways to the love and acceptance that God offers to us. Jesus describes them as different kinds of soil. Some people he describes as hard soil. This is the seed sown along the path. Reverend John Huffman tells about a man he knows named Bob, who's in his mid-60s. Bob has gone to church all of his life and thinks of himself as being a very religious and good man. However, he's never let his religion get in the way of his lifestyle. Even though Bob considers himself a church man and is probably sitting in church today listening to a sermon somewhere, he really likes to take control of his own life. He hears the gospel every Sunday, but the seed never really penetrated his heart. Very few of the values that he hears in church are translated into Bob's daily life. The altar Bob worships at is the altar of Bob. Bob's problem is that he has committed himself to himself instead of committing himself to Jesus Christ as his Lord and committing himself to God. Bob is his own Lord. Bob is the king of his own life. He wants no mention of sin from the pulpit. According to him, that went out of style with the Middle Ages. Bob gets turned off by anything that might take him out of his comfort zone as a worshiper. You see, for Bob, going to church is like inoculation for a contagious disease. He wants just enough religion to keep him from getting the real thing. There's a second group represented by the rocky soil, people who had faith at one time, but it was not firmly rooted, and so they let it slip away. We can feel great compassion for some of these people. Tom Sutherland is such a man. At one time, Tom was an upstanding Christian. He was an elder in his church, but that was before he was held captive in Lebanon for 6.5 years. During his captivity, Sutherland was held in 26 different locations. Sometimes his cell was underground, no bigger than 6 by 6. And after 18 months of captivity, Sutherland was put in solitary underground cell. He became so discouraged that he tried to commit suicide 3 different times by putting a plastic bag over his head. But he would begin to think about his wife and his children, and he would stop. Tom is a free man today. However, one of the casualties of his experience in his captivity in Lebanon for those 6.5 years that he no longer believes in God. When he was asked why, Sutherland said, "I prayed so many times and I prayed really hard and nothing happened." We can feel compassion for Tom. You and I don't know how we would react if we were put in that same situation, a prisoner, 6.5 years, not knowing if we were going to live or die, what was happening to our family, in an underground cell many times. However, we do know that others have gone through similar experiences almost exactly and came home, instead of not believing in God, they had the reverse and had their faith strengthened, and even help other people strengthen their faith. Jerry Levin is a Middle East bureau chief for CNN who was taken captive in Lebanon. And he not only held on to his faith, but he even learned to pray for his captors. What a hard thing that must have been to do. You see, different people respond to life in different ways. And some of us have led very sheltered lives. But one day we too will be tested. We will lose someone, or we will fall on very hard times, and life will not go the way that we want it to go, the way that we think it should go. And then what do we do? If our faith is rooted in good soil, will that be enough to sustain us in our faith and our walk with God? The seed falling on rocky ground, said Jesus, refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time, and when trouble or persecution comes, they fall away very quickly. Now, the seed which fell among thorns refers to Christians who have let their worldly concerns, such as material things, choke out their faith. Jesus could be talking about some of us. We live in a very materialistic society. Some of us believe that we can buy our way to happiness, and many people in this world try that. Others of us believe that somehow we're superior to those who have less financial blessings than we have, especially the very poor. Indeed, the seed that fell among the thorns may be the largest group in our land. A short time back, the pop singer Madonna, the material girl herself, if you can believe it, she said this. She said, "We as Americans are completely obsessed and wrapped up in a lot of the wrong values. Looking good, having cash in the bank, being perceived as rich, famous, and successful." If Madonna is right, and certainly she is for a large segment of our society, could it be that America's real God is money? In USA Today, they told of the Pew Research, PEW Research Center, poll that asked people, young people. According to this poll, 81% of young adults between the ages of 18 and 25 said that getting rich was their number one or number two goal in life. Does that disturb you, that getting rich is the number one and number two goal of our young adults? I know there's a rapper called 50 Cent. He's got a song and he's got a movie called Get Rich or Die Trying. I thought that was sad. Evangelist Billy Graham tells a wonderful story in his autobiography, Just As I Am, that speaks to this issue. Bill and his wife were on an island in the Caribbean. One of the wealthiest men in the world invited them to come over for lunch. The wealthy man was 75 years old, and throughout the entire meal, he just seemed close to tears, seemed so unhappy. He said, "I am the most miserable man, I think, in the world. Out there, just right outside, is my yacht and my helicopter. Jets take me anywhere. I have all the money to do anything that I want to do. I have everything to make my life happy, and yet I am miserable." Billy says that he and Ruth talked to this wealthy man and prayed for him, trying to convince him to make a commitment to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Later, they went down the hill to a small cottage where they were staying, and that afternoon, the local Baptist pastor came to call. He was an Englishman who happened to be 75 years old himself. He was a widower that spent most of his time taking care of his two invalid sisters. And yet, says Dr. Graham, the Baptist pastor was full of enthusiasm and full of love for Jesus Christ and for other people. He says, "I don't have 2 pounds to my name," he said with a big smile on his face, "but I am the happiest man on this island." Some of the seeds fall on the path where the soil is hard and is eaten by the birds. Some falls on rocky soil and does not establish firm roots. Some falls among the thorns of the worldly concerns like the material wealth and is choked out. But some of the seed falls upon good soil, and that is the good news for the day, and thank God for that. Sometimes the message of the kingdom falls upon hearts that welcome it, and it does take root. When the good seed falls on a good soil, miracles do occur and lives are changed. You know, seeds really are miraculous. Consider the potential of one kernel of corn. A kernel buried in the soil will produce one corn stalk, and each stalk then will produce one ear of corn. The average ear of corn has 250 kernels. So that a single kernel of corn under the right circumstances will produce a yield of 250%. And you think about that. I mean, that's just mind-boggling, amazing. So we need to be reminded sometimes that when good seed falls on good soil in God's abundant world, wonders produced can come forth. All it takes is a tiny seed for wondrous things to happen and grow. You know, last week we celebrated Independence Day. I love the 4th of July because we celebrated how much freedom means to us. It's not just about barbecues. I think sometimes we lose the true meaning of the 4th of July. It's not just a holiday, not to work. But we have this freedom because some amazing people like Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and George Washington and Benjamin Franklin and others planted seeds in this new world. Seeds of democracy, seeds of human rights, and from those seeds sprang the greatest nation that this world has ever seen. That's how it works. Good seed is sown on good soil, and miracles occur. Of course, since we're talking about God and His seed, sometimes it will even fall on what we might think is unpromising soil, and a miracle will happen and produce abundantly. I mean, how many times have you seen someone, God will never get that one, they'll never change their life, and that person becomes a wonderful witness for the Lord? In Jesus' parable, God is the sower of the seed, and we are the soil. I think Jesus would have each one of us look within ourselves in some time of meditation and time of prayer and ask, what kind of soil are we? What kind of soil is within us, our heart and our mind, our soul? Have we become so hardened by self-preoccupation like Bob that the seed cannot penetrate our hard hearts? Are there rocks in the soil that keep the roots shallow so that it will not survive when a time of testing comes and we will turn away from our faith? Are there worldly thorns like love of material things which might choke out the life of spiritual devotion and money becomes our true God? Or do we have the receptive hearts prepared to go and do what God wants us to do and go and be the people that God has called us to be? Spirit-filled Christians, filled with love and mercy and kindness. You know, God wants to plant a seed, if He's not already done it, in your life. So I ask you, is your soil ready for what God wants to plant in you? May God bless you. Amen.